Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is Baruch Hashem. We come to a wonderful conclusion. We're going to do Kuf Chof Omid Beis and the last Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. We're getting the Yetzer Hashem between yesterday and today. We'll do an extra Dafim between these 2 days. We'll do three Dafim to help make up for some of the Yontif time that we won't be able to record a Shir. So we begin on the very, very last line of Kuf Chof Omid Aleph with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us, Yoshnu Mikzosim, if the people of the Seder, and they're here to dealing with the Korban Pesach, when they had Baruch Hashem, the Korban Pesach, Yezus Hashem will have this issue, halachic issue this year with the Korban Pesach again. Yoshnu Mikzosim, if some of the people fell asleep while they were eating the Korban Pesach, and there were other people eating with them in their Chabura that didn't fall asleep, so then Yochelu. So when the people wake up, they're allowed to continue eating the Korban Pesach. We don't consider that as being a separate Chabura. We paskin, the Rashbam tells us, like Rabbi Yehuda, which learned earlier, Stam lom ki Rabbi Yehuda, the Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, abol ein ha'ochel ochel mishnei mekomos. You can't eat it in two separate places. And one person has to eat in one chabur, even though you can divide up the Korban Pesach into two different groups within that same Korban Pesach, they can eat it in two places, but they can't eat it, one person, either in two separate places or in two separate chaburos. So the Mishnah is telling us that when people fall asleep, that's not considered that they're now in a separate place or in a separate chabura. So if some of them fell asleep, Yoshnu Mikzosin, no problem. When they wake up, Yochelu, they're allowed to keep on eating the Korban Pesach. However, if all of them fall asleep, cool on, everybody fell asleep, so then that essentially means when they wake up, they're in a new place, a new chabura. And therefore, in fact, lo yochelu, they cannot continue to eat the Korban Pesach anymore. They lost out on their opportunity because this is now considered a different entity. This is a special unique din to the Korban Pesach. If a person falls asleep in a meal, so he doesn't have to make a new bracha rishona when he wakes up. Now we turn to Kuf Chof Omid Beis. Riosi disagrees with the Tana Kama. Now, there will be two opinions over here. The Rashbam says that he's more machmir than the Tana Kama, and we'll see the Rambam, as you can see this in the Ein Mishpat, he shows us that the Rambam's opinion, which is also how the halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, is that the Rav Yossi's opinion is the more makel opinion. What does Rav Yossi say? What are the words that Rav Yossi says? Rav Yossi Omer, Nisnamnu, if people only had a little, what I would call a dremel, if they only had a little bit of sleep, the word will define it means a little bit of sleep, it's like half asleep, so then, Yochelu, then they're still allowed to go and eat the Korban Pesach. And the Rashbam explains, this is talking about the first statement that the Mishnah made, is the Rashbam says, Aresha Koi, that which the Komar Tanakama, Yoshnu Mitzoson, so then, Yochlu, they're still allowed to eat. So Rav Yossi says, this is talking about if even only part of them fell asleep, but it's half asleep. So if they only fell a little bit asleep, part of them, then when they wake up, they can continue eating. However, near Demu, the Rashbam explains in the first part of the Mishnah that if some of them fell fully asleep, near Dam is like a tardemon, a flol avram. This is a deep, heavy sleep. So then, lo yochelu, they're not allowed to eat when they wake up. That's the way the Rashbam understands this. On the other hand, Tosus and the Halacha Lamaisa is that Rav Yossi is actually going on the second part of the Mishnah, where we said that if all of them fell asleep, so then nobody's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach anymore. And on that, Rav Yossi says, it depends. If they fell into a deep sleep, a tardemo, near demu, so then, you're right, then they're all not allowed to eat. But if all of them fell into this half sleep, so they got drowsy, but they're still awake, so then Rav Yossi says, we're makel and allow them to still eat the Korban Pesach. And this is how we, in fact, paskin. The Mishnah continues, HaPesach ach chatzos, if you want to eat the Korban Pesach after chatzos, you're not allowed to do so. The Gemara will discuss the nature of this iser. And therefore, this Korban Pesach after chatzos, mitame es hayadayim, it's going to be treated like nosar, and nosar has a prohibition of tumah on your hands that is created because the rabbis were concerned that people will allow stuff to become nosar. They'll be lazy and won't be careful with stuff becoming nosar. So therefore, the rabbis instituted this tumah of yadayim onto nosar. Likewise, ha-pigul v'ha-nosar mitamim si-yadayim. In general, pigul, if a korban was mafugol, if somebody was mafagal a korban, he had a chutzla zmano. When he shechted, he said, I'm going to eat this in a time that you're not allowed to eat this korban. That's a chutzla zmano machshava, so that's mafagel the korban. We won't go into that in great detail. We've discussed it in the past. Or if a korban is left beyond its intended time, and it has to be nisraf, it has to be burned. So again, ha-pigul v'ha-nosar mitamim si-yadayim. They also give this tumah to the hands, that is a din derabbanon. The rabbis instituted that there's a certain tumah on your dayim if you in fact go and touch the pigul denosa, and the Gemara will explain the rationale why, which we've had previously as well. We'll see it again inside of the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Riyosi omer nisnamnu yochelu niedmu lo yochelu." We quote Riyosi said in the Mishnah. So Gemara asks, "How do you define a tardema, and how do you define half asleep, a light sleep?" So hechi domi nisnamnim. What does it mean if a person is only half asleep? He's just dozing. He's just having a dremel. So I'm Ravashi. Ravashi says, "Nim velo nim." A person is asleep, however, he's not really fully asleep. Tir. He's awake, below tier, but he's not fully awake. What does that mean? If you're going, for example, the kari lay vaneni, you call out to him, "Hey, Yanko, you up?" And he says, yeah, I'm up. So they call out to somebody, and he can answer. However, v'lo yoda lahadure svara, but he doesn't know how to respond with any real good rational thinking. So, for example, the Rashbam says, if something is a milsa, the tzricha svara, something you have to think about. For example, kagon, shisholun so hechon heinachto klizeh. They ask him, "Hey, where'd you put the food? Where'd you put the apples?" And he can't answer that question. He's half asleep. He can't answer the question. However, the Rashbam says, "Vuchi midkule." But if you say, "Hey, did you put the apples on the table?" And he says, "Hanachosu b'makom ploni. Did you put it in such and such a place?" Midkar. He says, "Yeah. I put it on the table." So he's half asleep. So he can't really think clearly. But if you ask him a direct, specific question, "V'omer hey no lav," then he can answer yes or no. That's called nisnamne. However, vuchi midkule midkar. But again, even though he can't maybe on his own go and give a svara, give a rational answer, but if you remind him of something, he can say yes or no. Mor says, "Ma'isa shoya, Abaye havi Yosef kamei de Rabba." Abaye was once sitting in front of Rabba. Abaye was raised in Rabba's house. He was a famous Talmud of Rabba. So he was once there in Chaza to call Nimnim. He saw that Rabba was in this half asleep type of a state. Amalei, so he said to his Rebbe, "Meinam konoim mar." Is the Rebbe, is the mar, is he asleep? So Rabbi said back to him, "Menume kominamnem. I was only just taking a little dremel here. I was just taking a light nap. Utnan." And we learned, "Nisnamnu yochelu, nidmu lo yochelu." And he says, this is the example of nisnamnem that we learned in our Mishnah, that if a person is nisnamnem, so he's still allowed to be considered part of that chabura, that place, that chabura, and continue eating the Korban Pesach. And nirdemu, if he was in a full sleep, however, lo yochelu. Again, this is totally on how you understand this statement of Rav Yossi, like the Rashbam going on the Reisha, or like the opinion of the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that it goes on the Sefer. Now we quote the Mishnah again. It says, "HaPesach haChatzos metamei yisidayim v'chule." The Korban Pesach is treated like Nosar after Chatzos, and therefore it's metamei yidayim, just like Pigul and Nosar. So Gemara says, "Almo, what do you see from here? Mechatzos havli Nosar." As I just said, you see clearly that it has the status of being Nosar after Chatzos. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, therefore it's Nosar. Montana, who is the author of this opinion on Mishnah that it becomes Nosar after Chatzos? Omer Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef tells us this is the opinion of the great Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion of the Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, the Pasuk tells us, "V'yochlu asabos b'layla zeh," that you have to go and eat the Korban Pesach on this night. Now, what does it mean, b'layla zeh? It's going to be Gzeir Shava. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Nemar Kam b'layla zeh. It says you have to eat the Korban Pesach, v'yochlu asabos b'layla zeh. And also it says in Nemar, it says furthermore, "Lahalon va'avarti v'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh." Kosh Baruch Hu said, "I will go through the land of Mitzrayim and kill all the b'choros b'layla hazeh." So again, we have the word hazeh. So this is Gzeir Shava. Ma lahalon ad chatzos, just like in regard to Kosh Baruch Hu going through the night in Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, v'arti v'Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, it meant up until chatzos. It says, "Kachatzos halayla," Moshe said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it will be exactly at midnight that I will strike down all the Bechors, and the famous drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Pirate to say, "Well, it wasn't midnight, it was a minute before, a minute afterwards, it's a natural disaster, it's not what you said. It was a plague, it was some sort of a infection that suddenly killed everybody. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I will come to Moshe Rabbeinu," said, "at midnight bidiyok," and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Kachatzos halayla." In any event, that's when V'yavarti v'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, at midnight. And Malahalon achatzos, just like that was midnight, so too by the Korban Pesach when it says v'yochlu es habosor b'layla zeh avkan ad chatzos. So that's the Gzeir Shava of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teaching us that the Korban Pesach must be finished by chatzos. Now obviously it can't be eaten in that split second of chatzos, and it doesn't make any sense to say that that's when the start of the Korban Pesach is from chatzos, because what are you supposed to do with it? Normally if you can't eat something, it becomes no longer a good carbon. So therefore it must be that it's talking about from the start of the night, until Yochlu Asa Basar Balaila Zeh must mean from the Tzeis HaKochavim up until Chatzos. That is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Amar Rabbi Akiva, but the pasuk says Valo Nemar B'Chipazon. You have to go and eat the Yochlu Asa Pesach B'Chipazon. You have to go eat it quickly, rapidly. So what does it mean? B'Chipazon. It means Ad Shas Chipazon. It means that you have to go and eat the Korban Pesach. The end time is the Shas Chipazon, which is the morning when they left Mitzrayim in a rush. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, no, Min HaTorah, you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach all the way up until the morning. Aye, then why does it say in Kematam Loma, Yochlu Asa Basa B'Layla Hazeh? Why do you have to tell me B'Layla Hazeh? What's the purpose of that? If it tells me B'Chipazon, it means till the morning, so obviously it means that night. So Gemara says, no, you need to tell me B'Layla Hazeh, because Yochlu Nechal Kekotchim Bayom. You might have thought that you're allowed to eat it on your Dalet. Normally, when you shecht the carbon, you can eat it that day. There's no case other than Korban Pesach where you're not allowed to eat the carbon that you shecht during the daytime and also in the night afterwards. So I might have thought, if you just told me that it's still Shas Chipazon, so then I can eat the Korban Pesach when I shecht it on your Dalet in the afternoon and sit down and have an early supper if you want, and you yotze, or maybe even though you have to eat it at night, as long as you have a kazayis at night, you're fine, even though you ate some of it during the day. So that's what I might have thought. That's why it has to tell me that Ochlu Esabasa Balayla Zeh, B'davka has to be eaten at nighttime and not during the day of your Dalet. Tamaloma Balayla, Balaylu Necha, Beno Necha Bayom. That's Rabbi Akiva's understanding for why he has to say, V'yochlu Esabasa Balayla Hazeh. So he doesn't learn it out as a Gzeri Shavah, like Rulos Ben Azariah. So then that brings the question, Rabbi Akiva, Hai Hazeh, what does it say, V'yochlu Esabasa Balayla? Why do you have to tell me Hazeh? My Ovelay, what's the point of having the word Hazeh there? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah needs it for the Gzeir Shava. What does Rabbi Akiva need it for? So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva needs it, Miboyle, he needs it, Limiuti, Laila, Acher, Hudiyosa. It's to tell me that you must eat it on the Laila of Tezvav and not also on the Laila of Tezayin. Why would you have think that you could? So could I have because I might have said that like a regular korban shlamim, ho pesach kochim kalim, ushlamim kochim kalim. I would have said that the pesach is kochim kalim, the shlamim is kochim kalim, and therefore the pesach is analogous to ushlamim. Now shlamim is eaten for 2 days with a night in between. Now since you have to eat it at night, so I would have said you have to eat the korban pesach at night, but you can eat it for 2 nights just like a korban shlamim. So my shlamim nechol mishnei yom of laila echo, just like a shlamim has 2 days with a night in between. I would have said the same analogy, since the Pesach has to be eaten at night, Pesach, Okim, Leilos, B'malkum Yomim. I'll switch it around and say that the Korban Pesach can be eaten for 2 nights and the day in between. Ve'nechal, L'shnei Leilos, V'yom Echad. And you can eat it on Tezvav at night and also Tezayin at night. And Machlokas Rashbam brings down Rashi, his grandfather's opinion, that you can't eat it during the day, but it doesn't become Noser. But he himself says you could eat it Taka during the day. You could eat it during the day of Tezvav as well. But in any event, the critical point is that if you didn't have the word Halaylo Hazeh, Rabbi Akiva says, we would have thought you could eat it on the night of Tezvav, but also the night of Tezayin. Therefore, Kamash Malan, Kosar Rechmana Hazeh. Therefore, the Torah says, Rechlus Abasa Balaylo Hazeh. So that's why Rabbi Akiva needs the word Hazeh. No, this is a very good drasha. For those of Azariah, on the loch, what will he tell to Rabbi Akiva? It says, the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to leave it over. Miloso siri menu ad balker, nafka. This is learned out because we're told that you're not allowed to leave any korban pesach over. So, therefore, you're not allowed to leave it over after the first night. So I don't need the word hazeh to tell me that it should be like a korban shlamim. I already have loso siri menu ad balker. I'm not allowed to leave any of the korban pesach over until the morning. So, what does Rabbi Akiva say to that? Rabbi Akiva, he would respond back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Amalach, he would tell him, no, Ilo Kosar Rechmona Hazeh, if you didn't have the word Hazeh, you know what I would have said? When it tells us, Lo Susiru Emanu Ad Boker, I would have said, Havamina, my Boker, what does Boker mean? Boker Sheni, it means till the Boker of Tezayin. So you're allowed to eat at Tezvav at night. You can or cannot possibly eat it during Tezvav during the day. The Machlokas, Rashi, and the Rashbam. And then you can eat it again on Tezayin if I didn't have the word Hazeh. I, Lo Susiru Ad Boker, means that. But you're not allowed to have any left over on the Boker of Tezayin. So that's how Rabbi Akiva would learn this. No, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say to that? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he would respond back to Rabbi Akiva, Amalach, he says, no, Kolech the course of Boker, Boker Rishon Hu. When it tells us the word Boker, so it means the first Boker, there's no real reason to think it means the second Boker. Now, the Gemara doesn't state what Rabbi Akiva would respond to this, but we do have it in other places that it means Boker Sheni. For example, when you have to burn the Karban Pesach, you have to burn it not on Yontif, so you have to burn it the next day. So therefore, Boker could imply the next Boker as well. That's Mestama what Rabbi Akiva would reply. In any event, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Ocha Matzah b'zman hazeh chatzos. So is this analogous, the Korban Pesach, to Matzah? So Rava says that according to Rav and Azariah, you would not be out to Yehovah, because the Matzah that we eat as the Afikomen is taking the place symbolically of the Korban Pesach, and therefore, Ocha Matzah b'zman hazeh chatzos, Rabbi Elazar and Azariah lo yotzi dechavasa, because that is the equivalent of the Korban Pesach. And Elazar and Azariah says, you're not allowed to eat it after chatzos. Gemara says, Pshita, what's Rava telling us? Of course, that's the din. What's the chiddush of Rava? The kivan, the iskash, the pesach, the pesach tami. What's the chiddush over here? The matzah has the same halacha, matzah sumorim yochluhu. So you have to eat the korban pesach with the same restrictions as the matzah. And therefore, if the korban pesach can't be eaten pesach katzos, so the matzah can't be eaten pesach katzos. Isn't that obvious? Why do I need an amora like Rava to tell me that? Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. If you didn't have Rava telling it to us, you know what I would have said? I would have thought, ha afke kra me'akesha, that since we have a pasuk that tells us that the Pesach is not totally analogous to the matzah, when we don't have a carbon Pesach, so there is no mitzvah to eat mara, but we have a separate pasuk, the erev toklu matzos, that you bedavka have to still eat matzah. Bizman is that, it's daraisa to eat matzah. So we've removed the connection, if you wish, between the Pesach and the matzah. So I might have thought, since ho avke krom akesha, since they aren't automatically connected, kamash balan, so therefore the din I might have thought was not that you're allowed to eat the carbon Pesach only until chatzos, therefore kamash balan, techi ahadre kol lemilso kamaisa ahadre. So therefore, when we do have this connection between the carbon Pesach, when it tells us, so therefore, it restores this to the original din, that when you do have the separate mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, even Bizman Hazeh, even though it's not connected to Korban Pesach, but it still has all the dinim that we had it when there is a Korban Pesach, and therefore you must eat the matzah before chatzos as well. We are no way to try to fulfill this. People are zohir to try to eat the Korban Pesach equivalent, the afikomen, by chatzos. Some even are machmir to say even the halal by chatzos. And certainly one should try as much as possible to follow this opinion. Even though we paskin technically like Rabbi Akiva over Chavei Rav, therefore we would paskin like Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Technically you can eat the Korban Pesach until the morning, but there are those that say that this is exerim the Rabbanan, that you're going to end up having noser, so you should try to finish it off by Chatzos, even according to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, halach l'maisa, we try to eat the matzah today, Mitzvah Hashem this year, even the Korban Pesach, when we bring it, B'ezus Hashem, so we will try to finish it all off by chatzos. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that not only is the Korban Pesach metame the yadayim after chatzos, but hapigul vanosa metame is yadayim lechule after chatzos. So why? Why hapigul vanosa metame? So it looks like there's a machlokas over here, but we'll see it's not really a machlokas. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, each of them said a different reason. One of them said, we don't know which one, chadamar mishum chashte kuhuno, because we're concerned about the kohanim doing something that is not so ayayay. They're doing something that's underhanded, being mafago, the korban of a person. They don't like that person, and they say, whoops, sorry, I thought this was the korban shlamim, so I said we're going to eat this tomorrow. I didn't realize it was korban chatas, and we can't eat it tomorrow. Whoops. And therefore, that korban is no good. It's mafago, the korban, and the person who brought that korban has to go take out all that money to go buy a new korban, and he's not yotze with this korban. So therefore, mishum chashtei kohuna, one of them, either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda, said, we're concerned kohanim intentionally making something pigal. So that, we are concerned that a Kohen might do that. But to make something Tomei, if you say that their hands are Tomei, if they touch it, whoa, Tumah, that they're very, very strict about, and appropriately so, but therefore, to make something Pigo, that we're concerned about. But to make something that would become Tomei to their hands, that we're not concerned anymore about. That's why they enacted this Xera, that the Pigo should become Tomei to your dying if you touch it. And the other one, either Rav Huna or Chisda, v'chad amar, it's mishum atzlei kuhuna. We're concerned that the korban are lazy and they'll leave stuff over and they'll become noser. So this is to encourage them that it shouldn't become noser, that they should eat up all the korban meat. So therefore, they made it that if there's noser, it's going to be mtami diamond. That again is an anathema, that they have come potentially into touching something become tami. So therefore, they won't be lazy, they'll be zoris, and it won't happen. So this is really not a machlokis. It sounds like it's a machlokis, but as I've already explained it, they're talking about two different things. One of them is talking about pigo, and the reason is because chashde kahuna, and the other one's talking about noser, and that's because of asle kahuna, as the Gemara will now tell us. Chadamar, another machlokis that they had, was kizayis, that what is the shear? Either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said that the shear if you touch it, that your hands become tummy, is a kezayis. As we'll see, this is because the shear of eating is a kezayis, so therefore, one of them holds that the shear, therefore, is going to be a kezayis if you even touch it to be the time you dime. The chadimah, the other one says, no, kebetza, because the shear of tumah is normally a kebetza for something to either accept or transmit. A famous machlokas, Rashi and Tosus, the Rachas, what is this din of a kebetza? So the shear is a kebetza in regards to tumah transmission, that's for sure, everybody agrees. You need to have a kebetza to transmit it, so therefore, just like the shear of tumah is normally a kebetza, so too here, the shear of your hands becoming tummy is a kebetza. We turn to Kuf Chof Omer Aleph, the last staff in this wonderful Masechta of Psachim. Now the Gemara explains what I said outside. Chag Tani'ina, Rav Huna, or Rav Chista said that the thing was pigo, and therefore they said the concern was the chashde kahuna. The chad toni anosa. The other one was talking about nosa. And therefore, manda toni apigo, the opinion neither Rav Huna nor Rav Chisda said it was going on pigo, they said mishum chashde kahuna. We're concerned the kohanim would do something underhanded. They would do something inappropriate. But when you institute exer of tumah, we're no longer concerned about that. And the other one said, no, it's just the laziness of the kohanim that they're going to let meat go. Well, I don't need to finish this off. Let it become nosa. Manda toni anosa, mishum asle kahuna. The kohen's lazy. So therefore, you institute this tumah to spur them and they won't be lazy. Then we have the second machlokas, chadamar kezayis, chadamar kebetza. So that's a machlokas in understanding why they chose this din to become tame, that the hand should become tame, so whether they use the paradigm of the amount for eating or the amount for tumah. Mandiyama kezayis, the one who holds that either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said that the shear, if you touch it, if there's a kezayis there, your hands become tummy, that's because kisura, if you eat a kezayis, then a person, Rachmon al-San, if he ate intentionally, it's chayiv kares, whether it was pigul or noser. The other opinion, Uman di Armah kibetza, that's because ketumaso, the din of transmitting tumah, according to everybody, you're only able to transmit this to something else, is if there's a shear of a kebetza. So therefore, he said this is the din of tumah, so it makes sense that it should be the shear of tumah, which is a kebetza. If you touch a kebetza, it's worth your hands of tumah. If you touch less than a kebetza, it's worth your hands will not become tummy. Now we go to the last Mishnah, this again, wonderful Masechta, which is such a wonderful thing that we're able to learn this in the months preceding Pesach, to go into Pesach with the Masechta's Pesachim underneath your belt to make a siyum on this Masechta is just a wonderful thing. And I'll just mention again that my father's yard site is on Yud Nisan. For those of doing the Daf Yomi, this is now Tes Nisan. So tomorrow we start Shkolim in the Daf Yomi on Yud Nisan. So I learned this Masechta as I do everything. Lila Nishmas, my father and my mother. So my father's yard site is tomorrow. We'll learn it. Lila Nishmas, my father, Yosef Nisan and Yecheskel, is Nisham is going to learn Aliyah from all the learning that everybody's doing in his honor. So we begin the last Mishnah. Beirach Birchas HaPesach. You make a bracha. We should all be zocha to make the bracha. Shekhi Shem Nesavet Zivonu. Lechol HaPesach. That we should be zocha this year to make this bracha that none of us have ever made in our lives. What an opportunity. We'll say with such a geschmack to say this bracha, Mitzvah Shem, this year. Shekhi Shem Nesavet Zivonu. Lechol HaPesach. So this is a bracha that you have to make. And if you make this bracha, then Potter Eshel Zevach. Then you don't make a bracha on the carbon Chagigas Yudalit. Now this year, Mitzvah Hashem, we won't have a Chagigas Yudalit anyway. So it would be moot this year. But in a regular year, when you have a Chagigas Yudalit, so then if you made the bracha on the carbon Pesach, Tzivon Lechol HaPesach, so then you don't have to make a separate bracha on the Zevach. The understanding behind that is because the even the Zevach, the Zavachta, Pesach, L'Shem Elokech, Tzon U'Bakar, it tells us that you're going to bring, as a Korban Pesach, Tzon U'Bakar, so it can only be Tzon, not Bakar, so this is an allusion to the Korban Chagigas Yudalit that you're going to be bringing, and therefore, it's incorporated in the idea of Pesach, and therefore, if you make the bracha first on the Korban Pesach, so then you're motzi, the Korban Chagigas Yudalit as well, you don't have to make a separate bracha on it. That's the understanding over here of the Tanna Kamma. However, Berach al es shel zevach, if you make the bracha, Shek Yishon Lusovet Zivonu, Lechol HaZevach, which you make on eating any regular carbon, so if you made that on the Chagigas Yudalit, so then that has nothing to do with the carbon Pesach, Lo Potter Eshel Pesach, then you have to make a separate bracha on the carbon Pesach. Divi Rabbi Shmuel, this is the opinion of Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Zu Poterizu, Lo Zu Poterizu, as you might have thought, without this diuk in the Pasuk, because of Achta Pesach, Shem Lekachel, Son of Akar, so I would have said that one has nothing to do with the other. If you have a piece of cake, so then it doesn't pot you from having a bowl of cherries. So you have to make two separate brachas. So if a person makes a bracha on the Korban Pesach, what does that have to do with pottering from the bracha on the Chagigas Yudalit? And likewise, if a person made a bracha on the Chagigas Yudalit, that shouldn't be able to pot you from the bracha on the Korban Pesach. Lo zu poterizu, lo zu poterizu. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, based upon what their shita saw, this could maybe be used to understand another machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Kishatim say lomar, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Akiva, that there's an ability for the Korban Pesach to pater the bracha that you make on the Chagigas Yedalit, so that would imply that Zrika Bichlal Shvicha. So you have a mitzvah to go sometimes do Zrika, which literally means to toss the blood, to throw the blood onto the Mizbeach, is also included Bichlal Shvicha, in pouring the blood onto the Mizbeach. So if the type of Korban you have requires Shvicha, and you did Zrika, you'd be Yotzi. But the other way around, below Shvicha, if you did Shvicha when you were obligated to do Zrika, so Zrika requires you to toss the blood, and that wouldn't be acceptable to do Shvicha. So to over here, Rabbi Shmuel's Shita is that the bracha on the Korban Pesach could exempt the bracha on the Chagigas Yedal, because the Chagigas Yedal is included in the Korban Pesach, just like Zrika could be included in Shvicha. But the other way around, if you make the bracha on the Chagigas Yedalit, it doesn't include the Korban Pesach. So too, if you're obligated to do Zrika, so you don't fulfill that by doing Shvicha. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But according to Divrei Rabbi Akiva, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, no, lo Shvicha b'chlal Zrika, v'lo Zrika b'chlal Shvicha. Neither one works for the other one. They're two totally separate things, and therefore, he must stumble. If you have to do Zrika, you must do Zrika, and Shvicha is not good. If you have to do Shvicha, you have to do Shvicha, and Zrika is not good. Now we turn to the last daf, Kuf Chaf Aleph Omud Beis in its Masechta. The Reshbam, which can be found underneath the Gemara, not to either side of the Gemara, but underneath the Gemara, the Reshbam explains what this statement is doing over here. We're going to be talking about Pidgin of Ben. And he says, Mishum da'airi masnisen, since we were just talking about Bishnei mine brachos, biyodim echad, since we're talking about can one person biyotzi one bracha for another bracha, so one person with two brachos, u'maisa echad, hatoli zeh b'zeh, on one maisa that's going to depend, can you make one bracha on one action that will be part of something else, so therefore, kigon pesach v'zevach, shechagigas yedalit, boim ha'pesach, so mishum ha'ochi, because we had this discussion, so we're going to have a similar discussion, totally unrelated to Pesach, but a similar discussion. The father of the child making the pigeon of Ben makes two brachos, one on the pigeon of Ben and one Shechiyanu. So therefore, now we understand why this is brought in over here. Afterwards, I'll say a very interesting part from the Ben Yoyada as to why this is here. So we start off with this Maisa Shohaya. Rav Simloi iklal a pigeon of Ben. Rav Simloi went to a pigeon of Ben. And while he was there, they asked him, how do you do a pigeon of Ben? Again, pigeon of Ben is an unusual mitzvah. People don't do that many pigeon of Bens. First of all, it's only done on a firstborn male. So right away, half the people that are born are girls. So therefore, you don't make a pigeon of Ben on a girl. Second of all, if there was a child born beforehand, Nebuchadnezzar was miscarried, or a stillborn, or something like that, Rachmana Litzlan. So then the second child, under many situations, doesn't require pigeon of Ben. Likewise, if the woman is previously given birth with her first husband, so if she has a child with a second husband, it's also not a pigeon of Ben. And likewise, if either the mother or the father is a Levi or a Kohen, there is no pigeon of Ben. So again, pigeon of Ben is a relatively rare thing. It's not anywhere near as common as you would have thought. In any event, Rav Simloi went to a pigeon of Ben, and he asked him the following shaila, Bomine, Pshita, it's Pashut, that our pigeon of Ben, you make a bracha. Which bracha? Bracha Tashem HaKenem HaKlam, Shek HaShem HaSav Zivanu, our pigeon of Ben. No problem at all. And Avi Habein Mevarach, and the father has to make this bracha because he's the one that's redeeming his son from the Kohen. Firstborns belong, so to say, to the Kohen, and therefore he has to redeem that child. He gives the Kohen the 5 silver dollars, and he redeems his son. Now, we also make a Shechiyanu with a pigeon of Ben. Baruch Hashem Kenu Achlam, Shechiyanu Kiman V'Yanu Lezman Hazeh. Who makes that bracha? This is the question they asked Rav Simloi. Kohen Mevarach, does the Kohen make it? Listen, it's a wonderful thing. He's getting 5 slime. He's getting the pigeon of Ben money. Or do we say, oh, Avi Ben Mevarach, or does the father make the bracha? Now, Kohen Mevarach, the reason that you say the Kohen is Mevarach is because the Komate Hanol Yedei, he just got 5 slime. He just got the pigeon of Ben money. So he's a happy camper. And if he makes a Shechiyanu. Or do we say, no, oh, Avi Ben Mevarach, the father of the child should make the bracha because the Kohen mitzvah, he's the one that's doing the mitzvah of pigeon Aben, right? If that Kohen doesn't do anything that day, he's not the Kohen that's chosen, so no big deal. But the father has to do the mitzvah of pigeon Aben. So therefore, he's the one that should make the Shechiyanu, Baruch Hashem, that this mitzvah came to his hand. So that's what the answer of Simloi, lo havi biyote, he didn't know the answer. So they went, also Shaw the Beis Midrash. So they went to ask the other rabbis. They went to the Beis Medrash and said, what's the halacha? Omrulei, the Beis Medrash, they said, this is the halacha, Avi HaBen Mevarach Shtayim. In fact, the father of the child, the person who makes the bracha on Pidgin HaBen, Shek Shem Zavon Sivan, on Pidgin HaBen, also makes Shechiyanu, V'kimon, V'yonu, Zman HaZeh. It's Hashem, we should be zolche to say the Shechayonu many, many times in our life. It's always a good thing to make a Shechayonu. The Hilchos, how do we paskin? We paskin like they said in the base medrash. Avi haben mevarach shtayim. The father of this child is the one that makes both brachos. We'll conclude this beautiful Masechta with the words of the Ben Yoyada. He says, we end off over here with Pidgin of Ben. So we're talking about Karim Pesach. We're talking about Inyan and Pesach in the entire Masechta. Why do we end off on Pidgin of Ben? We couldn't end off on the Karim Pesach. So he says, no. He says, this is ending off in relation to Pesach. He says, Pasach Hashem al Batei Avoseinu, v'yes Bateinu Mitzil, in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over us. And he only attacked the Mitzrayim, only the Bechoros, but he, quote, passed over us. And this Hatzalah, the Esbatenu Itzil, that he passed over us, that's a pidyon. That's a redemption for us. And we are considered as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Onu Nikroim Bonim Lashem. Bonim Lashem Lokeinu. We are considered HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And therefore, the Father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachu, Chayav Liftos Esbeno. He has an obligation to redeem us, which he did in Mitzrayim. Ki Pod Hashem Es Yaakov V'Golo Miyad Chozok Mimenu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim from the stronger hand, from the hand of Paro. And therefore, ending off this Masechta on Pidgin of Ben is essentially saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He was Poda, his children, Am Yisrael. With this we conclude this Perek. Adrilech Ari Psochem, Adrilech Ari Psochem, Adrilech Ari Psochem, and Yezus Hashem, B'Slikolah Masechta Psochem, B'Slikolah Masechta Psochem, Sochem Slikolah Masechta Psochem, Mitzvah Hashem, we return to this Masechta and have the pleasure of learning it again and again and again, many times in the Daf Yomi cycle and elsewhere. With this, we conclude today's share, and we conclude this beautiful Masechta.